Hello and a warm welcome to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. On a week where we've got plenty of action on ITV, we've got the Shergar Cup, a unique event from Ascot, six races to cover there, along with three from Haydock and one Group 3 event from Newmarket. So like I say, plenty to get through after a busy week at Goodwood and Galway last weekend. Who joins me on this week's panel? I've got Johnny Pearson and Robbie Wilders from The Racing Post. And from Unibet, it seems to be a bit more of a regular occurrence in the last few weeks. We've got Brett Williams. Brett, I managed to catch you just one day at Goodwood last week. I know you were there for a few days, but I only managed to see you for the one day where we saw Big Evs beat Asfura, where I thought I was a bit unlucky with Asfura there. But it was a great week at Goodwood, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, the weather played poor, probably a little bit too much because it was very, very hot. And but no, it was a great weekend, as you said there. And Big Evs was brilliant in that King George. Mm-hmm. I actually bumped into Tom Markand in the car park on the way out, and you know, we were obviously talking about it. And he said he's basically a horse who almost doesn't sort of get five furlongs. He's that quick. If there were four furlong races, then you know he'd be mopping them up in around here. But no, he's a top class horse. They're of course both going to go and renew rivalry in the Cornwall Nunthorpe up at York in what, a couple of weeks' time, and you know, renew rivalry with Asfura. But no, it was a great week. And as I said, this is a weekend where we're sort of just after Glorious Goodwood and Galway. We've got the Evil meeting coming up in what, 10 days' time, and it's just a nice little mix this weekend. I mean, a lot of people aren't perhaps the biggest fans of the Shergar Cup, but whether you know you love it or loathe it, it's here, it's here to stay, and it has got its fans. I mean, if you look at the if you look at the crowd figures, I can guarantee you there will be more people there at Ascot on Saturday than there would have been at the same place for the King George a couple of weeks before. So it's definitely worth being on the calendar, whether you like it from a racing or punting point of view or not.
Absolutely, completely agree, Brett. I mean, in terms of the racing quality, it might not be there, but if you've ever been to Ascot for Shergar Cup Day, it is one of the best days' experience you can have on a racecourse. Really top quality with some excellent music after racing. And that's where we're going to kick things off this week. We're going to start off at Ascot with the six races there. And the first race is the 135, which is the Dubai Duty Free Shergar Cup Dash. And the favourite here with Unibet, or joint favourites, are Apollo 1 and A Day in Devon. Jordan Electric's 9-2. Badgery is 6-1. Holcombe Bay 17-2. Desert Cops 10-1. Killian 10-1. And 12-1 bar these. Like I say, Mr. Wild, it's a unique event, a team event. Obviously, riders will be riding for themselves. There is an award for top team and top rider during the meeting. But who do you like in this opening race?
Yes, it's difficult because at this stage, we don't yet have final confirmations about who's riding who. So I'm not really going to be paying too much attention to jockeys as such. And you'd have thought a lot of the sort of jockeys haven't really ridden at Ascot before. That'd be factored into the market as well. I just thought, looking at the first take of prices, that Killian looked quite a big price at around 12-1. He's with Archie Watson now. He was a good juvenile for Carl Burt last season. He actually ran in the King Stand only two starts back. He was third of his group of six. He had some decent sprinters behind him that day, like the Dream and Equality he was ahead of. He then didn't take to first-time cheap pieces at all at Doncaster. He was last in nine last time. But the handicapper has dropped him £7 since he's joined Archie Watson. I think Watson will eventually get the best out of him. He's down to 94. That's definitely a mark he can win off if you go back for a lot of his sort of form as a two-year-old. He's sort of been beaten not far by Big Evs on a couple of occasions. And I mean, I think we can trust Watson to get him back eventually. So yeah, Killian looks the one that stands out the prices for me.
Yeah, and the jockeys are slowly filtering through as we're recording this podcast. But Billy Lochnan has been booked on Killian, which is an excellent booking.
Oh, we'll take that.
Considering the record and what happened at Royal Ascot, Billy Lochnan, an excellent jockey booking for Killian. Mm. Johnny Pearson, to you then for the opening race. Who do you like?
Yeah, and as Robbie's saying, it's, you know, how much the jockey is going to play a part is going to be quite a big factor the whole meeting. I mean, for all it has at stake, you know, the Shergar Cup, the racing itself is actually pretty decent in terms of the quality of the handicaps you get. My biggest irritation is, as with the racing league, they all suddenly turn up in different colour silks. I'm not entirely, and you've got to figure out which horse is the one that you've backed when you're used to watching it run in the same colours every time. But, you know, we've got a jockey probably not ridden Ascot before on A Day in Devon, but I can't really look past that form. You know, second behind Jasaur earlier in the season, third behind Elite Status, beat Flora Bermuda. Second behind Flora of Bermuda. And Flora of Bermuda actually ran well again at the weekend, I think, over in France, if I'm not mistaken. Over in Deauville last week, coming fourth behind the Zaza, who I think could be one of the best 3-year-olds in Europe at the moment, and can't veer away from that form.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, I looked at this race and had two horses in my mind, and it was the ever so consistent and well placed A Day in Devon for Rod Millman Yard, and Killian, who, like Robbie said, especially in the early days, looked like a bit of a weapon and did run well in that King's Stand. So they were the two on my list as well, Brett Williams. Are they on your list at all?
Killian was, but I agree with what Robbie said, when he has gone down a few pounds in the weights, but I just don't think he looks quite the same horse. But yeah, you know, he could go well. A Day in Devon, yeah, you always know you're going to get a good run for your money from that horse, but it's probably not the most inspirational choice. But I do think the favourite, Apollo One, is the one they've all got to catch, really. You know, second in a couple of Stewards' Cups, placed in the Wokingham as well. Got plenty of ticks in the right boxes. My only sort of reservation would be that if you look back at his form, he's only ever ran over 5 furlongs 3 times and been beaten on each of those occasions. So would obviously want a fast gallop today. Alberto Sanna has come in for the ride. I'm assuming this jockey is riding for the rest of the world team. And they'll probably go lickety-split flat to the boars on this horse and might not be able to stop him. Apollo won for me in a race where we are giving you your money back as cash if you back the second in that race. So money back as cash in that second race on the card. And just wanted to throw in at a bigger price, around 10, 12 to 1, is number 5, Desert Cop. A real speedily bred horse for Andrew Boarding, who does well at this meeting, actually. Got the visor on for the first time. That's got to bounce back for a couple of disappointing runs, but you never know, that visor might just eke out a little bit more improvement. And then Joanna Mason comes in for the ride as well. So yeah, Desert Cop at a decent sort of price. But for me, I think Apollo One is the most likely winner, certainly on the back of his last couple of runs.
There we go. And there are selections for the opener. And like Brett said, money back is second in this race here. Do head to unibet.co.uk for all the terms and conditions. Moving on then to the 210, which is the Dubai Duty Free Shergold Cup Stayers handicap over 2 miles here. And Gordon Elliott looks like he's going to saddle the favourite. Samoy is 2-1 with Unibet. Spirit Mix is 4-1. Ranch Hand and Fox Journey 9-2. Struth is 13-2. Sheridan's 15-2. Beamish is 10-1. And looking at bigger about the rest of the field in here, I'll come to you, Mr. Pearson, here, because Samoy is a very unexposed horse in here for the Gordon Elliott yard. Looks like it may go off favourite. What are your thoughts on this one?
He's gone and won by 17 lengths last time. It's pretty hard to actually quite know what to make of that performance. You know, he's good, but how much of the others underperformed at the same time? It's not the easiest thing to work out. He's a good horse. You know, he's 2 from his last 3 runs, beating decent horses, but probably short enough against a field of, you know, decent stayers in there, the likes of Royal Chan and Fox Journey. Well, Fox Journey's obviously stepping up in trips, run over 2 miles once or twice. But he's got to really put it up to some better horses here, and it's not one I'd be wanting to go in on at too short a price. And I also don't actually want to back any of the others in the race. So I'm going to sit it out, but it should be a good race to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my nap is actually going to end up coming in this race, so I won't give that away. But Brett, who did you like in this?
Again, it's quite tricky. I was quite keen on Struth for Mark Johnson, Charlie Johnston and Tiger O'Shea. Of course, Dubai World Cup winning jockey, multiple UAE champion jockey, riding at the Shergold Cup for Great Britain Ireland, which sort of surprised me a little bit. I thought it would be riding for the rest of the world, but there we go. Sheridan's won a 3 in the race for Ian Williams. This horse has got some rock-solid form from France, and he does stay this trip. He's stepping up to 2 miles for the first time in the UK, but won on... went over a mile and 7 on heavy in France. So that's not a concern for me at all. I think the step up and trip will suit him. And I thought he was quite eye-catching, actually, at Goodwood last week. He sort of didn't get the best of runs, got boxed in. And when the gaps opened, the race had, you know, the bird had flown, so to speak. So I think he could be quite interesting. We have seen a bit of support for Sheridan as well. So, yeah, that's the one for me in a race where we are also be offering you a price boost in that race as well. So, not sure which horse it will be yet. It could be Sheridan, who knows? But we are price boosting a runner in that 210.
There we go, price boosting that race. And it looks like Unibet will be price boosting my nap as well. So we'll wait and see who that will be at the end of this show. Robbie Wilders, to you, who in the 210?
Yeah, I thought of Williams is 3. I get the point about Sheridan. I did just think the Grand Vizier was a little bit too big as the outside of the field. You know, he's got some really good form at Ascot. His course form figures read 1.238.230. And, well, basically, he was third in this race last year, £13 higher. And he's only in a handful of runs this season in much better races than this. This is a fair drop down in class for the Grand Vizier. And, I mean, you just go back through his form last season. He's £16 lower than he was this time last year. He wasn't beaten far by Trushan in the Doncaster Cup. I think if he gets back on a going day, then he's interesting. I didn't think he ran too badly at Goodwood last week when in a ninth to Master Milliner. He's well able to handle quick turnarounds. He's done it plenty of times. Like last season, ran twice at Royal Ascot, went close in the Queen Alexandra Stakes behind Dawn Horizon. He just really likes the course. And if Ascot can just bring him back to life, I could see him going much better than his odds.
Grand Vizier, yeah, big prize, around 20-1 with Unibet currently. And yeah, that race at Goodwood last week, course record there by Mr. Milner, but it wasn't a hard thing to do because the ground was as quick as anything last week at Goodwood. 2:45 at Ascot then is the Dubai Duty Free Shergar Cup Challenge. This over a mile and a half and is a class 2 handicap like most of the race on the card, where Insanity is the 7-2 favourite. Truefall's 5-1. Cracksking is 11-2. The Goat 13-2. Set Point is 7-1. Good 2, 15-2. Dancing in Paris is 8-1. And looking at bigger about the other three in here. Brett, I think the last time you were on, Dancing in Paris was a horse that we both fancied. It didn't quite come off for us. And I believe you had sat on the horse prior to the weekend that we put this horse up. What do you make of this horse's chances this week?
That's the reason it got beat. And the fact it only ran 7 days before me. And that horse had a good race last week. Poor horse, he's a lovely individual, but I think he needs a bit of a break now. He's been on the go for a long time. He's had lots and lots of quick runs, but he is as tough as old boots. But if he can win, fair play to him. But I wouldn't go anywhere near him, to be honest. I think he's just had a fair few too many runs. Insanity is the one that I came to here. I was obviously looking at this before the prices came out. I thought that was an eye-catching run over course and distance last time at the King George meeting. For Insanity, and that was, I think, his first run since April as well. So I'd expect him to improve for that. Alan King's horses are in good form. Money wise, Cracks King's a lot of support for this one. Talking to our traders about half an hour ago, now into around 5-1 from 10. So strong support for the James Fanshawe run, who was third, of course, behind the rear posing the Goat. And then Truthful, I thought that was quite an interesting runner for William Haggis and Hayley Turner. Nice little field. She probably needed her first run back last time at Newmarket, and that, of course, would have brought her on along a lot. So if she can ship fitter for that appearance, I think Truthful could be quite interesting at around, 8-1. But for me, I think it's all about the favourite and very keen on Insanity. And another race where we are price boosting as well.
There we go. Another race with price boosting. Plenty of offers from Unibet for the show. Our cup meeting then. But Insanity, Alan King and Rachel King, no relation there, but a good jockey booking, a jockey who's gone out to Australia and done very well out there. Robbie Wilders, who did you like in the challenge?
Yeah, a bit like Brett, I quite like Insanity here. He's had quite a light campaign. Returned from about 4 months off with a really good second at Ascot recently. I thought that looked a good race beforehand. You had a couple of interesting horses there, like Mutawid, who's a brother to Mostadaf. Burdett Road was in there. A couple of other exposed ones, like Table Talk, who ran in the Derby. And Insanity was quite a bit clear of those horses. He's gone up £3. Wasn't particularly fancying the betting that day at all. I'd expect him to tighten up a little bit for it. And I think a £3 rise is perfectly fair. So he definitely goes in with a favourites chance for me.
Okay, two votes for Insanity then. And Johnny Pearson, are you going to make this a hat-trick?
I am not going to make it a hat-trick. I'm going to go with Set Point for Gordon Elliott here. Shamey Heffernan takes the ride. He's only run three times this year, and the last time was the first one on the flat over the Curra. Not overly fancied that day, but got the job done and definitely shaped as there's more to come going forwards. And I do expect him to take another step forward. With Shamey on board around Ascot on a decent chance, you know, it's one that I'd be happy to take a chance on at the price of sort of, 7-1 or so at the moment.
Yeah, Set Point, Shamey Heffernan, an excellent jockey booking there for the team. So that'll be another selection there in the 2:45. So two votes for Insanity and one vote for Set Point. In the 3:20, which is the Shergar Cup Sprint, it's a 6-furlong event. We have Giraffe here as the likely favourite. Looking at the prices on screen now, but there are others at bigger prices like there are in many of these races, competitive as ever. Robbie Wilders, Giraffe, last time winner at Ascot. Looks like Billy Lotnan's been jocked up as well. Another one where he could have a really good Shergar Cup by the sound of things. What did you make of this?
Yeah, we love Billy, Billy L. And I think we love Giraffe as well. I think he's got a cracking chance. I mean, he's very lightly raced, obviously, but he looks to improve him very quickly. Thought he just easily beat Fresh and Rhythm Hooves at Ascot last time. I mean, they're proper Ascot horses, proper course specialists. Fresh came out and ran really well behind Northern Diamond in the Victoria, the International Stakes, sorry. And Rhythm and Hooves as well. I mean, he won at the Royal Meeting last year. Giraffe's up £8 for that. I mean, he's put up an RPR of 104. That takes him up to a BHM mark of 95. I mean, you'd have thought there's still plenty more to come from this horse. And eventually he'll be in group races. So I'd expect him to take this quite casually.
Yeah, I believe you're correct there. Johnny Pearson, you were nodding away there. You're a big fan of Giraffe in this?
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with Robin. You know, RPR of 104 last time speaks volumes. Only run four times, continuing to get better with each run. And it's, you know, having won at Ascot over course and distance, it's pretty hard to look past that. And I expect, you know, there's only nine that day in the field, so it's not like he's coming from a huge short handicap into a smaller field handicap. The conditions will be fairly similar and should suit him perfectly.
There we go. Two votes then. And Brett Williams, could this be the hat-trick horse this week?
I think so, to be honest. I agree with everything that you both said there. I mean, yeah, the £8 rise is a question mark, but the way in which he went over the course of distance last time would suggest it wouldn't pose any sort of problem at all. And clearly, again, to echo what Robbie said, winning this off 95 then goes up. You know, you're going to be looking at sort of Group 3 and definitely into Pattern Class Company after this. Obviously, the obvious day, I think the betting's got it completely right. I think Imperial Guard is the one he's got to catch. Was probably a little bit unlucky last time over course and distance on sort of softish ground. So it might sort of perhaps be better suited to the slightly better conditions expected on Saturday. And if you can get 5-1, you know, it's worth obviously backing each way. But no, I think the favourite is a worthy market leader and should be quite hard to peg back, to be honest.
Okay, three votes then for Giraffe in the 3:20 onto the 3:55, the fifth race on the card, which is the Shergar Cup Classic. This again over a mile and a half, and the prices are on the screen now. Jockey bookings are just filtering through, like I say, as we're recording this at the moment. Johnny Pearson, to you first. Who did you like in the 3:55?
I mean, it's hard to knock the form of Solomon, really, and he's probably the right favourite in the race for all Alberto Sanna's picked the ride up. But, you know, he's probably the right favourite. I'd rather not have a bet on the horse. I'd rather take an each-way chance on going remote for Jess Carrington. And I'm not going to say his name because I'll get it wrong, but four-time German flat champion jockey taking the ride. I think, you know, I'll ignore the Galway run last time because Galway's a ridiculous meeting and all sorts of things go wrong there. But the form, you know, continuing to improve, but when he's beating Barnso before that, who's a progressive horse and was a good two-year-old last season. Naval Force is useful, although, you know, he's beaten five lengths, it wasn't disastrous. And I think this race should probably suit an each-way price, should have a really good chance of.
Yeah, going remote around about the 12-1 mark here for jockey Berzan Muzabayev, who actually had a stint with Andre Farb. I don't think I did. Last season, I had a stint with Andre Farb over in France, his number one jockey. But Robbie's going to take the mick out of me for my pronunciation of the
name. No, I actually thought that was all right.
You give it a go. You can give it a go.
Yeah, I've just like practicing myself in silence. Berzan Muzabayev.
I'll give you that. Yeah,
and
very good.
Same as yours, basically.
Do you fancy him to run a big race?
Nah, not really, mate. I don't think it'll be. I just wanted to say the fella's name. I mean, yeah, again, like it's third favourite in a row for me, but like Solomon just has so much in his favour. I mean, he's run off the same mark as when a pretty easy winner at Haydock last weekend. I mean, he's got the pedigree as well. He's a half brother to Solcombe for these connections, who obviously won the Melrose last year. And that horse is now operating in Group One Company, out in Australia. So, I mean, he's still on 85, very lightly raced, wasn't beaten far by Notable Speech in a conditions race a few starts back. Yeah, I just think it's going to be tough to beat, Sam, to be honest.
Okay, another vote for the favourite from Robbie. It's very rare you get that from Robbie, but obviously keen there. Yours finishes off, Brett. Who did you like?
The favourite is probably the one that sets a standard, and I think the price is probably about right for Solomon, to be honest. But I think Dan Buster could just be quite interesting each way. with the first time visor setting up in trip. I think that's going to be the crux of it. I think that was a bad run behind Persica at Sandown last time, over 10 furlongs. The step up in trip hopefully will suit that one. But I just think I'm going to take it. It's not a shot in the dark. It's 5-1, but Houston. He clearly improved for the Gouding operation last time to score at Windsor over, I think it was a minor quarter, wasn't it? Yeah, minor quarter. So steps up to a mile and a half today. Might just sort of help him a little bit. I spoke to Richard Hannon before he won at Windsor and said, well, what are we doing? Are we back in Houston today or not? And he said, listen, he works like a very good horse. He works with all the good horses. On what he shows at home, he should be winning more than sort of novice maidens at Windsor and so forth, but he perhaps doesn't always put it in, so they got him gouded. I don't know if that would improve you with your running, Sam. Probably hurt it a bit, wouldn't it? But anyway, it seems to be all right with him. And he's obviously sort of finally got his act together. So I think 5-1, just a step up in trip. Handicap debut off 88, it's worth just throwing a dart at, primarily because it's sort of 5-6-1 as opposed to 11-8, your favourite.
Right, there we go. Yeah, so Houston could be the one with a slight each way angle there in the 3:55. The final race on the card is the Shergold Cup Mile, obviously over a mile, betting on screen currently. And Hayley Turner looks like she could ride the favourite in this race, which is New Image. We haven't given much love for Hayley Turner so far, the kind of what we call the queen of the Shergold Cup. She absolutely loves this event here. Brett, is this going to possibly be her winner on the card?
I'd say so, yeah. When I looked at the form again before she was booked to ride it and before the prices came out, this was the horse I opted to go for. That was a great effort in the international behind, was it Apollo Red? What it was called anyway, Northern Express?
Or Northern Express, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, good run into the Astra in the international. It is up £4 for that, but it's harsh enough, but and he's off a career high, but always in the money and always expect, you know you're going to get good run for your money from that horse, and probably the step up tomorrow might just help it as well. But when I was talking to our traders earlier on, and obviously we were going through a few of the runners, Silent Film has been absolutely smashed in the betting in this race. Real strong support for this, and now into 5-1 from 16s earlier on in the week. Again, ran in that same race that Sharadan and the Grand Vizier and those horses all ran in at the Qatar Goodwood Festival. That was a good effort, finish eighth behind Tommy's son. He's always been a horse that's threatened to win a decent one. He's not always put it together, but the fact there's money for him has got to be quite significant, which just makes you think that perhaps Ian thinks this is his best chance on the card, because he's also got Yantani in the race as well. But no, I don't think Ian will win it. New Image wins it for Hayley Turner. I mean, if you say Hayley loves his meeting, she doesn't ride it. She throws her prams at the toys at the prams, doesn't she?
Sometimes, yeah. But I mean, she's a big fan of these team events, it seems. Even the Racing League, she's shown a lot of love for. So New Image looks like the one for Brett, looking like could go off favourite in this, and I imagine could be well supported. Robbie Wilders, to you then, who did you like?
Yeah, what I'll be doing here is seeing if Richard Hannon sort of turns his form around the next couple of days, because he's 2 from 56 over the last fortnight. If there was any sort of sign that the yard were going to turn around, then I'd be all over Takrad Bay at 25-1. He's just got so many good pieces of Ascot form. Second in a handicap off a mark of 106 last season. He was third in the Balmoral in 2022. Last season as well, he was sixth in the Moët and Chandon International Stakes, but he won his side there. He's just come right down the weights to 97. We know he's capable of putting in sort of 110 performances if he's on a going day. That's the big question, really. He's been out of form lately, but the handicapper has relented a little bit. What I'll be doing is, if Hannon doesn't turn it around, I'll sit it out and keep him in the notebook. But if there are signs of a resurgence, then I'll be looking to get some of that 25s about Takrad Bay.
Okay, Robbie will be waiting to find out whether the Hannons come back to form again, and you will be able to hear Richard Hannon's thoughts on these horses in his blog that will be out on the Unibet website and Unibet socials as well. So do look out for that ahead of the weekend. Johnny Pearson, you're to finish us off in the Shergold Cup. Who did you like in the last?
Well, I think Rachel Veneker might have a winner here on Carry the One. It's the step up to a mile. I think we really see his tendency to be a little bit slower away is not ideal. But that step up to 8 furlongs rather than the 7 should bring the late finishing more into play here. And I think, although behind New Image last time, I didn't feel there was as much in it as the gap between the two horses suggests there was. And, you look through the form, there's some really good form there. had a guy out behind English Oak, who's obviously run very well. Aalto has been really good this season, and it's I think that's the one for me. Carry the one.
Carry the one to finish things off then in the Shergar Cup. Like I say, with regards to Shergar Cup, do head to unibet.co.uk for all the offers that you can get during the meeting. Plenty of them to be had. Now, the football season is shortly upcoming, starting on Friday night with the Championship, and Unibet kindly sponsored our big kickoff video. We had the likes of Dave Clark, Mark Langdon, James Milton, and professional punter Nick Goff on the panel. And here's a short clip of the show here.
Start with you, Nick. Who'd you like here?
West Brom.
Fortunately, this one's very easy for me, and I think that that everything's right for Leeds this year in what looks a much weaker Championship than last year. Although I'm not saying it was strength in depth of the Championship last year was that strong, but the three or four teams at the top were unusually good, and to get the points that Leeds got and to, you know, the numbers that they racked up last year and not go up was extremely unfortunate. Yes, they've lost Somerville, excellent player, and they've lost Archie Gray, but he probably wasn't a key player anyway. Maybe they'll lose one more, but they've got now this link up with Red Bull, which will allow them to go and bring new players in. They've been linked with John Rowe from Norwich today. They're going to go and sign good players with any money that does come in, and the gap between them and the rest at the end of last season was so big, I don't really see how anyone in this league where money is now at a premium, teams like your Norwiches and West Brom who were behind them, to close that gap have to make a really big difference. They can't go and spend the money. I mean, West Brom are skint. They've got to get they have to go into the EFL and ask them if they're allowed to make transfers now, which is very weird.
You've managed to say that without cracking a smile as well.
We played them last year, and that'll be the last time. I don't think the teams coming from League One this year can possibly do an Ipswich. That was a total freak and a one-off. In fact, they're more. Well, if we talk about relegation, they're going to be more in that discussion. So Leeds tick every box for me, and at 7-2, I think they're too big.
So there we go then. There is the big kickoff video. You can find the link in the description for the whole show. But Nick Goff, very keen on Leeds for the Championship. Like I say, that'll be kicking off on Friday night. And you can also get the big kickoff pullout as well. 80 pages from the Racing Post. The sports team have worked really hard on that. You can access that through the Racing Post shop. If you haven't already bought the paper for that, you can go down into the description and get the link for the PDF in the shop below. But really looking forward to the football season. But you're here for the Racing Post Racing Postcast with Johnny Pearson, Robbie Wilders and Brett Williams from Unibet. We've got four more races to cover, gents. Three from Haydock and one from Newmarket. And Haydock is where we go to for the 225, which is a handicap over a mile, which is going to be very competitive here with Kilt and Phoenix Passion as the 9-2 joint favourites. Theme Park 13-2, Diamond on the Hill 15-2, Spectacular Style is 8-1, Twirling 9-1, Old Cock is 9-1, and Double Figures bar these. Thought the Shergar Cup was fairly tough. We've got competitive handicaps now at Haydock. Brett Williams, any offers here at Haydock?
Yeah, four places each way. If you're having a bet here, that makes it a little bit easier, which I think helps because this is actually quite a tricky race. The favourite is Kill, who, you know, prior to getting beaten at Newmarket last time, was obviously looking quite progressive, but I thought perhaps it took a bit of a step backwards last time. I'm not quite sure. Maybe the ground was on the quicker side than it preferred. But I think it's got questions to answer on its handicap debut. But obviously, Tom Marcan in for the ride for his boss William Haggis, and you know could sort of bounce back from that and you know show some smart form. But it's a real tricky race. I think Twirling is a horse you can put into the equation around 9-1. Got some form with Sterling Knight is marginally better at the weights on this occasion, so you could expect him to reverse that form ever so slightly. But no, I've not got a strong opinion on this, to be honest. What are your thoughts on number 10?
Let me have a look. Number 10 in the field. Old Cock. I'm not too sure, Brett. I'll tell you what, I haven't looked at this race too much, but it looks like it's well supported, but I'm not going to make too many comments on that. Robbie Wilders, who did you like at Haydock?
Yeah, I think Kilt is interesting. I'm a real sucker for a well-bred horse. Maybe it's my biggest weakness in this game, but I mean, he's a very closely related to Doom, that smart miler. For William Haggis, same connections. He's making his handicap debut off a mark, which looks pretty decent based on his novice form. I mean, he's run good times on both his recent novice starts at Newmarket. Beat a couple of good horses of James Owen and Charlie Appleby in the first one. And then he was only sixth last time, but that novice has worked out really well. Ombudsman's won again, the winner. The second's won twice since. Even the fifth, First Conquest, has come out and won a handicap of 91. He's rated 98. Kilt was trying to defy penalty that day. I mean, he's given weight to some really promising types. He's in off 87 first time himself. Might have not been quite himself that day anyway. He's arriving off a first time gelding operation. He just looks like the type that could have a fair few pounds in hand, so I'll stick with him.
Okay, Kilt for Robbie Wilders. Johnny Pearson, we're away from the Shergar Cup now, so you'll know the silks and colours that you've got running for you. The 225, who do you want?
It's quite a tricky race, isn't it? I mean, Kilt, first time gelding, first time in a handicap. You don't really know quite how, you know, is the horse going to find an extra £10 for it? Who knows? Phoenix Passion won the last four races, and I'm a sucker for a horse that just keeps on winning. You know, once you're in a winning streak, just keep going. And Theme Park actually did quite well to win a York last time, didn't break very well, and got up late and could run another big race for Nigel Tinkler and Rowan Scott here. So, I mean, I can't really put my finger on which one I'd want to have a bet on. For all, I think it's going to be a really good race to watch.
Okay, yeah. Remember, you can get those extra places with Unibet as well here. Four places with Unibet for the 225. Now, the 3 o'clock at Haydock, in my opinion, looks a bit of a cracker. It's the Rose of Lancaster Stakes Group 3 event, just over a mile and a quarter, which sees the returning Ann Matt well off 400. I think it's a big break. It's 439 days since we've seen this horse as the 2-1 favourite. Alma Beer is 9-2. Lord North is 9-2. Bracken's Laugh, 5-1. Certain Lad is 6-1. Mouchtaba, 11-1. And Regal Reality, the outside the lot, at 14-1. Brett and Matt, like I say, 439 days since we've seen this horse. A course and distance winner. Back in 2022, won the Prix Dollar. Then in 2023, only had two runs, the Gordon Richards at Newmarket, and then won the Group 1 Prix Disband. I think we would like some more top-quality middle-distance horses, albeit this horse is now six. But there's every chance he could be right up there.
Yeah, I mean, he won this race, as you said, back in 2022 as well. And he escapes a Group 1 penalty because obviously he's been off for a year. So he's well-treated in a race like this. But just the big question mark is, can he defy that, 439 day absence? I looked at Owen Burrow's recent stats. They're all running to basically a 33% strike rate overall. At Haydock, he's got a 28% strike rate. So that's definitely not to be sniffed at. He has got, you know, some pretty formidable stats at the track. We are super boosting all of the runners in that race as well. So you are going to get some good odds, whichever horse you decide to back in the end. And yeah, and Matt does set the standard. And you know, you will get a decent price if you're prepared to take that risk. That is he fit enough after being off for such a long time? But we've seen what Owen did with Hookham a couple of years ago. He bounced back from about 25 years off the track and won. So he can get them fit first time out. If he's going to be vulnerable, this is going to be the time, and this is when he's going to get beaten. And then you're going to try and look at the horses to which horse will beat him. Obviously, Lord North has dined at the top table for so long, and this is quite a significant step down in grade for him, but he's not as good as he used to be. And I just lied. I'm going to just take a bit of a shot in the dark. Number 7, Bracken's Laugh. He's had a wind knock since we last saw him. Yes, he's not as good at this stage as the favourite and Matt, but he's got some decent form. He's placed in the Hampton Court. I think he was second in the D Stakes as well. And I just think he could be interesting. You know, he's always got some. He's always there. He's always got some decent form. Richie Hughes has got 20% at Haydock, which again isn't bad. And you know, just today Saturday just might be his day if the favourite isn't fully tuned up.
Yeah, it was certainly an interesting one, Bracken's Laugh. I've been a big fan of this horse all season, actually. When beating Orne at Chelmsford and then finishing second at Chester behind Capulet, I thought we've got a right old Royal Ascot contender here. Like you said, was fifth actually in the Hampton Court behind JRB and King's Gambit, who are definitely top quality performers. We already know that, and has since had wind surgery. So I definitely wouldn't be putting you off if you're one to looking to take on this favourite, who, like we say, is coming back off a long, long layoff. Robbie Wilders, you're the kind of man that would take a horse like this on.
Yeah, for sure. A rare favourite I'm actually taking on at this show. Just ones of his profile, like a six-year-old coming back off a long layoff, first time out at a short price. It's just not for me. I mean, he's got the best form in the race, but I don't know, that's quite a break. I'd want to know something I have some inside information about how he's sort of been getting on. And even so, he might have been training well, but you don't know how they're going to perform on the track. Looking at this at the start of the week, I was interested in Alma Beer and, like yourself, Bracken's Laugh. I think Alma Beer probably will need it a bit softer to be seen to best effect, but I think there's more to come from him over middle distances. But with the way the ground's looking, it's probably going to be good, I'd say. I think Bracken's Laugh will be fine on that, as long as it's not too quick. Interesting horse. I thought Ryan Moore controlled the D stakes from the front on Capulet, and I thought he was Bracken's Laugh is horse to take out of it. He beat JRB quite easily that day. I know JRB reversed the form at Royal Ascot, but I mean, he himself got an outstanding ride. I don't think we've seen the best of Bracken's Laugh yet. He's had a wind up since. Maybe he was feeling something at Ascot, I don't know. But I mean, this is horse who beat King's Gambit on his debut last season. He's only had a few runs. I think there should be more to come. I know Rich Hughes rates him very highly. And you're getting a decent price, I'd say, about Bracken's Laugh.
Absolutely. Completely agree here. Johnny Pearson, what were your thoughts on this?
My thoughts are that Ann Matt, okay, has been off every year, but his best horse in the race and should be winning the race. My concern, as Robbie's alluded to, is Bracken's Laugh. I would be concerned about the ground. You know, Monson's got a better record with his horses that run on softer ground as a general rule. I think pedigree hints to that. Good to firm Ascot Lights last time may not have been to his liking for all the, you know, he's had a wind up and maybe that's something there as well. I know Owen Burrows can definitely get one ready first time out, as Brett said, with Hookham. And it's hard to go against, you know, you look through that form that he's got, no Group 1 penalty. I can't leave that and not have a bet on that, even at the 2-1 that's there.
Yeah, he definitely is the star in this race. There'll be some punters that will take it. It's just this horse is far better than the rest and be willing to take the chance. But there are going to be a few that want to take this horse on. And, you know, there are plenty of each way bets to nothing in this race. And Bracken's Laugh, in my opinion, is certainly one of them. We've got one more race at Haydock to cover. We take a bit of a jump now to the 4:45, which is the Dick Hearn Stakes, which is a listed contest over a mile. Indelible's topping the market at 5-2. American Arrow's 9-2. Carnarvon 6-1, Naomi LaPaglia is 7-1, Schwassier is 15-2, Orchard Bloom 17-2, and looking at 11-1 and bigger about the rest of the field in here. What did we make of this one then, Johnny Pearson?
Pretty tricky, to be honest. I mean, you've got the Crested Horse, however you say that, and...
I've just misread it
anyway, and Orchard Bloom for Haggis, you know, sort of set the standard on their recent form. But, you know, the Shannon horse Carnarvon, I've lost the plot with
Carnarvon.
It's pretty good running at the Curragh last time behind Royal Dress, American Sonia in second. They're too far back, the race wasn't the strongest run and finished off pretty well, and I can see her taking another step forward here and throwing her hat in the ring at a bit of an each way price.
Okay, Carnarvon there, David Probert taking the ride. We've learned a few things this week, Robbie Wilders, in this week's show, that you're suddenly liking quite a few favourites, and Johnny Pearson can't pronounce certain names. Who's he like in the 4:45?
Yeah, I'd like to see him try and say Naomi LaPaglia as well, because that is my favourite. Well, not my favourite, my selection here. I think she's quite a big price considering that she's one of the few ones here that's actually definitely on a real upward curve. Sort of beaten in handicaps off marks in the 80s last season after being thrown in the 1,000 guineas on only a second start. But she's found her level now. Good fourth at Deauville on her return. Would have needed the run coming up against a lot of race fit fillies, given a bit too much to do. And she was definitely given too much to do at Ascot last time behind Friendly Soul in the Valiant Stakes. I thought that was quite a good performance. She didn't get the best trip up the rail. Had to wait for a run. Finished quite encouraging, I thought. I mean, the two horses ahead of her, Doom, is a good yardstick for the division. She was third in the Duke of Cambridge at Royal Ascot. And Friendly Soul was beaten Calpana early in the season. Very highly rated horse of the Gosdens. And she had the run of the race, whereas Naomi LaPaglia absolutely didn't. So I think that told me that there's an engine there. And I think she's well up to winning this. Yeah, Naomi LaPaglia.
Naomi, I'm going to go Naomi LaPaglia, but we'll go with that.
The G's going to be silent.
I believe it's actually a comedy. She was the character, I think, that was from Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, exactly. Margot Robbie's character.
That was it, correct.
Italian American.
Brett, I've just found that out. Brett Williams, yours to give us the final selection that we cover from Haydock.
I must watch The Wolf of Wall Street. I don't think I've seen it. Is that Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, have you not seen that?
It's a great, great film, Brett. We'll go away. Next time you're on, we'll get your professional review of that film.
Yeah, it is long, though. It's about 3.5 hours long.
I like the one where he pretends he's an air pilot and cashes all those financials.
Catch Me If You Can.
That's it. That's a brilliant
one. Yeah, that's a class film. Yeah. And Shutter Island, my favourite DiCaprio film, but...
Away from the Oscars and film reviews, Brett, who did you like in the Dick Cairns Stakes?
Well, Indelible, I think, is when they've all got the catch. Good run in the... Was it the Sandringham last time? Yeah, at Ascot. And I think that sets the standard. It's got a bit of fall now with Strutter. Obviously, Indelible, I'm well clear on ratings here, 104. American Arrow, though, has been really, really strongly backed in the lead-up to this race, into around 5-1 now, was 12s and 16s before that. And I've looked at the race that it went on its debut over 7 furlongs. It was probably one of the worst 7-furlong races for novices. Stays there, it's worked out terribly. But there has been a lot of support for it. And the fact they're going into this grade straight away clearly shows it. They feel she's got a decent amount of ability. Or, of course, you've only got to finish in the first four to get some black type anyway. But, yeah, interesting. It's been money for American Arrow, but I think this is a big step up, and I'd be surprised if she's good enough. So, yeah, Indelible for me in a race where we are best industry price. Had to get that in.
It is, yeah, and this is the best industry price. Am I correct in saying that's from Saturday morning, Brett?
Yeah, 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock Saturday morning, so you can get best industry price on the Dick Cairns Stakes on Saturday. Again, head to unibet.co.uk for the terms and conditions. Now, we have one race from Newmarket to look at, gents, which is the 340, which is the Sweet Solera Stakes over 7 furlongs. We are on the July course here. And Lake Victoria, it's going to be the battle of Aidan O'Brien and Charlie Appy here. Lake Victoria for Aidan O'Brien, 5-4 favourite. Mountain Breeze for Charlie Appy, 7-4. And then we jump to Flaming Stone at 15-2. Liberalised, 11-1. Elsie's Ruins, 14-1. Dream Voyage, 16-1. And Angelica Bay is the outside lot at 33-1. Brett, is this going to go to Aidan O'Brien, Charlie Appy, or someone else?
I think it's a certainty to go back to Ballydoyle. The race has worked out really, really strong. That the second, the fifth, and the ninth have all won from that race at the Curra. Is obviously already proven over 7 furlongs, having made its debut over that trip, which is a little bit surprising. It's by Frankel out of Quiet Reflection, who was a proper speedballer herself. She won the Commonwealth and the Sprint Cup, but this kid, this filly, obviously they think she's going to get a little bit further in time, because this is a proper sort of stepping stone to the classics and the fillies and mile and the May Hill and so forth. Obviously went the way of Carl Brooks filly last year, so it's a good race for producing future smart classic winners. I think she's going to take every ounce of beating here. Mountain Breeze looked good earlier on, and she's, I think, sort of her form has plateaued. Flaming Stone, she could be smart, but no, I think if you can get 5-4, that's a decent price. I'd be surprised if she doesn't go off odds on.
Yeah, Red Litter looked really smart the last day. Robbie Wilders, who did you like?
Yeah, I think Lake Victoria out of the first two would be the one I'd pick, definitely. Impressed on her debut, as Brett says, that form's working out nicely. But I don't know, I'm a bit reluctant to take short prices in juvenile races because we don't know exactly what we're dealing with, essentially, after just one run. What Elsie's Ruin is just too big at the opening price. I mean, she won her debut at York for Gemma Tutty, quite impressively, I thought. Beat a horse called Praetorian, who previously finished second to Billboard Star at Newmarket. Billboard Star, quite a good yardstick for this sort of division, I think. He's run well behind Whistle Jacket at Newmarket in the July Stakes, and again at Goodwood last time. Elsie's Ruin, yeah, I thought that was quite impressive. Given quite a bit to do at York by Ulysses, really nice pedigree. I just think she's basically that price because of trainer, even though Gemma Tutty is actually having a really good season. She's about, I think, 40 something like 30 quid level stakes profit this season. It seems our horses are being a bit underestimated, and Elsie's Ruin looks one that can outrun our odds, definitely.
Yeah, one at a much bigger price away from these two that are dominating the market. Elsie's Ruin for Robbie Wilders. Johnny Pearson, you're to finish us off. 10 races, who did you like in the 10th and final one?
I actually quite like the Charlie Appy horse, for all Brett thinks. There's sort of plateaued, I just think it was a better run last time. Just bumped into one a bit. You know, finished ahead of, what was the Ballydoyle thing that came third? Heaven's Gate, which spent him on at Nace on Monday in a good performance. all for all, she didn't have to be at her best on Monday. You know, you talk about Red Letter coming out and winning since with the Lake Victoria form. I think Red Letter actually shaped better than Lake Victoria did on that run where she was second to her. And that was, I don't think, as strong form as Newmarket race where Mountain Breeze was second last time. And I'm going to have to go with that. It's interesting, Robbie mentioned Whistle Jacket there, because over at 4:35 at the Curragh, you've got the Keeneland Phoenix Stakes Group 1, where Whistle Jacket is currently odds on favourite, and Heaven's Gate, who obviously won Ascot, is also in that race. And that's why Ryan Moore is not riding Lake Victoria as well, because he's there. And that's one, certainly one to keep your eye on as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Some good stars on show this weekend everywhere, Ireland, France, and in the UK. So plenty of racing to keep your eye on this weekend. But that is all 10 races covered. We're going to be back shortly after this with our bets elsewhere, as well as our weekend naps.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, Johnny Pearson, Robbie Wilders and Unibet's Brett Williams taking you through the weekend action and now taking you through any other bets for the weekend away from the ITV cameras. Robbie Wilders, is there anything for you to look out for this weekend?
No, I think that's enough. We covered quite a few, haven't we? I think that'll do me. I'll play it steady.
Absolutely, yeah. Plenty of races this weekend. You don't have to play in every race. Do remember to gamble responsibly. The MO here at the Racing Post and Unibet is to only play with money you can afford to lose. Johnny Pearson, is there anything in Ireland? You've already mentioned it once, but is there anything that you like over there?
There is, actually. I don't think we've got any prices yet for the 3:25 at the Curragh, but Kind of Blue runs for James Fancher over there. He's third behind Elite Status the other week over at Newbury. I think he goes there with a really, really good chance of getting his head back in front, having been behind Insurin at Ascot and then at Elite Status last time out. I think this looks a better opportunity for him, and he could get the job done there. And then one that's sort of gone off the may have slipped under the radar a bit is on Sunday over at Hopgarten, Germany. Al Rifat, who was second behind City of Troy in the Eclipse last time, runs there. Likely to go our favourite, but you also got King of Conquest for Charlie Appy, who's in really good form. Second by Middle Earth, got form with Isle of Jura from Bahrain, and won his last two runs, beat Emmerich both times. And that looks a really good race to get excited by as well, see who wins there. And the final one that people, you know, it's very speculative, this is not necessarily a bet, but one that I'd say to keep an eye on is in the 250 at the Curragh. It's a two-year-old juvenile fillies race, but lots of them haven't run. The Falling Snow is by Justify out of Winter, running for Donnacha O'Brien. She actually won a barrier trial at Dundalk a few weeks back, which you can see the replay of on YouTube. She won really impressive, really quick final furlong, really lengthening out to the line, and it's one I'd be certainly keeping an eye on for the future.
Okay, keep an eye on that one there then, but you had no issue in pronunciation Hopgarten on Sunday. So yeah, the Group 1 over there. Actually, I've just had a quick look because I haven't looked at it yet. It does look like a decent little Group 1, so I will keep my eye on that this Sunday. Brett, is there anything from you, or is there any reminder of offers from Unibet for the weekend for our viewers and listeners?
No, just make sure you go onto the website and they're all available on there, all the details, all the special offers as well. But I am glad that I'm actually was on today's postcast, because John has just reminded me that I'd forgotten all about Kind of Blue, and it's horse that I've been following. I backed it each way at Newbury last time, and luckily I was rewarded with each way support. So now I know it's running this weekend, and I'm going to go all in for the win.
Okay, there we go. Yeah,
pays to watch this postcast, you see.
Yeah, yeah. Johnny is the man for reminding you of tracker horses. He has plenty of them, especially if they're running over in Ireland. So worth keeping an eye on. Right, gents, let's get the weekend naps then. Who is the best bet for this week? And I'm going to kick things off in the 210 at Ascot, the Dubai Duty Free Sherlock Cup Stayers. And Brett actually liked this horse, but it was Struth, who I was a big fan of for Charlie Johnson and Targo Shea, who was actually second in the Classic here last year. Now stepping up in trip for the first time to this 2 miles. Off a mark of 94 last year, this time off a mark of 91. I think this horse is really unexposed over this trip and the staying trips. Targo Shea is one of my favourite jockeys, being a Maidan and Dubai fan. He's an excellent jockey over there. But coming over here, I think he's got a plum ride here for Charlie Johnson. And I think around about the 15 to 2 odds, this is a great each-way bet. Robbie Wilders, who are you going to go with?
Yes, mate. 4.45 the Haydock, Naomi LaPaglia for the Wolf of Wall Street fans.
There we go. 4.45 Dick Kern stakes, Naomi LaPaglia for Robbie Wilders. Johnny Pearson, your best bet this weekend?
I'm going to go with Carry the One in the 4.30 at Ascot, if that's all right.
Yeah, Carry the One. Yeah, that's in the 4.30, the Sherwell Cup mile, taking on Hayley Turner at the top of the market, but Carry the One for Johnny Pearson. And Brett Williams, you're to finish us off with your best bet.
Yeah, so I'm going to go for Insanity in the Sugar Cup Challenge at 2.45. He is the favourite, but I think he's a worthy favourite. That was an encouraging first run back since April last time over course and distance. Rachel King comes over from Australia to ride it. Rachel, of course, no relation to Alan, although Alan's wife is actually called Rachel, but it's not this Rachel, so there we are. And yeah, I think Insanity is the nap of the meeting for me in the 2.45 at Ascot.
Yeah, Sherwell Cup Challenge, then Insanity for Brett Williams. Remember, these naps will be boosted by Unibet at the time of this podcast video upload and audio upload. So you can head to unibet.co.uk to get hold of all of those. Well, we've actually done that in really good time, gents. Quickly run through what everyone's up to this weekend. Robbie Wilders, we usually see you in the office for these podcasts, but you're actually away from the office for this
week.
What are your plans?
Yeah, I'm in the family abode. Just looking to soak up as much of the Olympics action before it finishes. That's going to be pretty gutting when it comes to an end of the day. I'm absolutely obsessed with the athletics. Like, give me that over racing any day of the week. men's 200 metres tonight, all eyes on that. And what about yourself, Matt?
I've been thoroughly enjoying the Olympics. Yeah, I've been keeping an eye on the women's golf in front of me as we've been going, but there's been plenty of action. I've actually enjoyed one of my favourite events has become this speed climbing. I don't know if you've caught it.
So good,
where they run up the wall in about 6 seconds. It's absolutely incredible to watch. Something out of Gladiators, but on a really extreme level. But I've already been enjoying that. Brett, what have you been up to and what's the plans this weekend? Any Olympic action for you?
I won't be climbing up any walls, but I might be doing something else at the wall. Look, I'm going to Manchester for a couple of days with the family for a bit of an anniversary celebration. So going to a few bars and a bit of this and a bit of that. So yeah, should be good. Not racing this weekend, which is going to be quite nice, actually. It's been a busy few weeks.
Yeah, if anyone knows Brett Williams and follows him on social media and the Unibet, so you'll just see that he's always at a race course. So yeah, for Brett to have a weekend off is very rare, so enjoy that, Brett. Johnny Pearson, you're to finish off. What are the plans for you this weekend?
Start with this evening. I've got to, I came last to my fantasy football league, so I've got to go and eat a curry on my own and live stream it on Instagram while eating it. But that'll be done by the time this goes out, which is good. Then fly off to a pretty relaxed week and then fly off to Corfu on Monday for 10 days.
Look at that. Wow, so 10 days in Corfu, and you'll be back just in time for York. But a few people, especially me, will be following you on Instagram to watch you eating a curry on your own. Never thought that was ever a punishment, but there you go. You can take it. Right, big thanks to everyone for this week's show. Like I say, 10 races. Do gamble responsibly if having a bet on any of these races. But big thanks to Johnny Pearson, Robbie Wilders, and the step-in for Ed Nixon, Brett Williams, this week. We'll be back again next Thursday for a weekend postcast. Do remember to like, comment, share and subscribe, and we'll see you very soon.